God. And I not only saw that, I felt that this evening. I thank God for that. I don't think I ever before cried at ordination, but I did this afternoon. And I'm not ashamed of it. But the Lord really blessed in that service. And it's such a great blessing when you get as old as Brother Hancock to know there's somebody else coming along behind you. He's the oldest one on the schedule. That's right. But there's some others not too far behind. Someone was saying that when the Southerners come north, that about the time they cross the Ohio River in Cincinnati, they begin to look back, begin to cry. Amen. Well, the reason we cry is because it's so expensive up north. Since Brother Jones has moved down south in Kentucky, his phone bill is even cheaper. I heard about this gentleman. I didn't hear it. I got it from the email. About this gentleman that came over from England or somewhere over there, anyhow, doing a little research on religion. And he sat down in New York and went to one of those very large church buildings in New York and looked around and saw this gold telephone on the wall. And under that gold telephone, it had the expense for using it was $2,500. Well, he went on to Chicago and some other big towns up north, and there was that gold telephone, but it was $2,500 to use it. Finally, he moved down farther south, down to about Atlanta, Georgia, and he went to this church there, and sure enough, there was that gold telephone. And right under it, it had 25 cents to use it. And so he got hold of the preacher, and he said, "I'd like you to tell me something." He said, "I don't understand what's going on." He said, "I was up in New York and Chicago, and they had the same telephone like you got, but they want $2,500 for using up there. And here's 25 cents." He said, "What is this?" And so this preacher said, "Well, first of all," said, "that's a direct line to heaven. That's reading its goal. Secondly, the reason it's just 25 cents is because it's a local call down south." And that's the reason we cry when we come north. Now, there's a young lady here told me to do that. And I'm going to call her name. But another young lady asked her the other day, said, "Do you try to talk that way?" We don't have to. It just comes natural. But we've had a good time. Really have. In every way imaginable. Just a good natured time with one another in fellowship, Christian fellowship, and good meals, and it's just good to have been here. Amen. We thank you for that privilege. Brother and Sister Connor asked me to, the best I could, which is very feeble, try to express to all of you their sadness of not being able to be here. I carried Brother Connor, and of course she went with him. She was able Monday morning up to see the eye doctor. Of course he has a problem with his eyes, and of course he's hearing too. And when they got out of the car, I was going back home. My wife was going to pick him up later. And well, Sister Connor sat up in the front seat because she has to have a walker to get about now. And she reached over and patted him on my hand as she was leaving. And she said, "It doesn't now seem like I even got to go last year, knowing I'm not going to get to go this year." And, of course, she broke down. Pray for them. It's a very difficult time. Brother Connor told me that he could never remember when he lost a night's sleep. He said, "It's just automatic. When I go to bed, I go to sleep." But he now loses sleep. He's having trouble sleeping. And I think we can understand why. So you pray for him. He was 88 years old Sunday. They celebrated this year their 66th wedding anniversary. That's a miracle within itself. So you pray for them. They sincerely need your prayers. And I can assure you that they are depending on your prayers because they know that you're praying for them. So you do that. I thank God for this privilege tonight. And I always get nervous when I preach, even at my own church. But especially in a conference like this. And then I'm standing in a place where some big men have stood before. A lot bigger than I am. And I'm not talking about physically. I'm talking about spiritually. Some voices have been hushed since this first conference. I remember the first one. I had to leave, but I knew something was going to happen, and I left. I had to go home. One of my members had a heart attack. And I knew, and I think I even mentioned, that something would happen before that conference was over. And it did indeed happen. I remember Brother Healy preached, and I forgot how many they said came up after that service. Almost everybody, for one reason or another. That voice has been hushed here on this earth. I don't think it's hushed where he's at, because I think he's saying, worthy is the Lord, you know. And then, of course, we lost Brother Wallace Tuney. Brother Eugene Clark is still here with us on this earth, but no longer able to come be in this conference. We miss him. Brother Kissel, Brother Connor, and I guess probably one of the closest preacher friends I ever had. Brother Harold Harvey. He stood many times where I stand tonight, this very time and place. And if it were not for the fact that I know that I'm in God's hands, I'd never be able to stand here. The reason we want the Lord to take our hand is because we don't know about tomorrow. We don't know about the future. But I want to know He holds my hand. Amen. And the reason I want to be in His hands, because He does all things well. Amen. Thank God for that tonight. Amen. Okay, if you will, pray with me. I had the privilege here a few years ago of being sick. And the Lord, He always blessed me, but especially blessed me that night to where I wasn't sick. Brother Hall was preaching out down the basement. And we have an old friend, preacher friend down in Tennessee like me. He talks this way too. But he has some quaint sayings, and he'll talk about the Spirit being so thick you can cut it with a knife, he'll say. Talking about the Holy Spirit. And I was down the basement that night. They got to singing, and about every 5 minutes I'd have to go and regurgitate. And they started singing, and I lost that for some reason or other. I didn't have to go. And then Brother Hall started preaching, and I came up, and I'd said about 5 or 10 minutes, I had to head back to the bathroom to regurgitate again. I'd asked Brother Titus to get someone else to preach, and he said, no, I don't have anyone else lined up. And I knew I couldn't. But God did bless that night, and for about 45 minutes, I've never been as well in my life as I was that night. I feel just about as good now as I did then, but we're not going to preach that sermon. You pray for us tonight. What I'm going to preach may be a little different. I've had trouble preaching this sermon. I've never preached it anywhere before. I had two others I wanted to preach, but for some reason the Lord wouldn't give me liberty. So you preach, you pray that God would be pleased to use me tonight just as an instrument. As someone said about a pen in a writer's hand, that God would be pleased to use me to just be an instrument in his hand. Amen. Jeremiah chapter 23. Verse 28. The prophet that hath a dream, let him tell a dream. And he that hath my word, let him speak my word faithfully. What is the chaff to the wheat, saith the Lord. Isaiah 58, verse 1. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgression, and the house of Jacob their sins. If the Lord will be pleased to help me tonight, I'd like to speak to you on the thought of the need of the hour. The need of the hour. We do not need the preaching of dreams, but we need the preaching of doctrine. We do not need the scratching of itching ears, but the skinning of false teachers and exposing of sin. Amen. We need to cry out tonight to God's people to cause them to face what God has required of them, especially His New Testament churches. What we need tonight is not many pastors, but mighty pastors. A lot of what is preached today in practice is not wheat, but chaff. God's people are being fed in many cases chaff instead of bread from heaven. God's people are not being told of their sins as God told Isaiah to do to His people. They're being blown astray by every wind of doctrine because they are like chaff, not matured on the bread from heaven. I want tonight, if we can, to try to help us to see our need. First of all, by the example of the first Baptist preacher. Over in Luke chapter 1, verse 16 to 17, the angel tells Zechariah, the father of John the Baptist, about the ministry of John the Baptist. And the angel said that John the Baptist would turn many people of Israel to the Lord. Then he says that he would make those people prepared for the Lord. Now the first coming of the Lord was imminent, so will also the second coming be. In John's commission, John the Baptist's commission given him, there, as we just read, there was a clear distinction between soul winning and preparing souls after they're won. John the Baptist not only turned people to the Lord, but he prepared them to meet the Lord. Many, I'm afraid, today have forgotten or ignored the plain principle that John the Baptist presented to us. We constantly read and hear that the only thing that matters is to get people saved, is how they say it. What we need, they say, and the most important thing and emphasized above everything else, is to get people saved. That's the terminology they use. It's dogmatically stated in many cases that nothing else is really important but just soul winning. Well, I'm not a scholar of anything, I don't suppose, but I can read pretty well. About as good as a lot of folks, some of those so-called soul winners. And when I read the commission in whichever gospel I read it, soul winning is only a small part of it, and it's just the beginning of the commission.
Amen. Amen, brother.
We are to teach the whole world, make disciples, then after they become a disciple, we're to baptize them and teach them to observe all the Lord has commanded.
Amen.
I've been reluctant to speak on this for the simple reason of being misunderstood about my thoughts of evangelism. I want to make it clear, I am indeed a missionary Baptist.
Amen.
I believe in soul winning.
Amen.
The Bible tells us that those that win souls are wise.
Amen.
And that one day they're going to shine. There's no question about that. I believe the problem is there's confusion about what real soul winning is. And I've come to the place after much observation that I'm persuaded that much of the fervor for soul winning today is just so much emotional psychology.
Amen.
To build up the image of the preacher or the church rather than real concern for the souls of lost sinners. They want to count them. They're not so strong on converting them, just counting them.
Yeah.
They boast of their progress reports. How many buses? How big their attendance is? How many professions? How big the offerings? The large buildings? How many doors they knock on? Their schools, their program, different ministries, the children's ministry, the young people's ministry, and the senior ministry. We just have one at our church, the ministry of God.
Amen.
You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, I forget which verse, but it says, to the Lord's churches, He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Doesn't put any age down. If you want to know the truth about these so-called soul winners, find out how many professions they have and how many of them have been baptized and are still there a year later. Check this. These so-called soul-winning churches concerning their belief and practice on the fundamentals of God's Word. They're always coming up with this with leaving out the non-essentials. I didn't know there were any non-essentials in God's Word. I thought if you took anything out, then it was no longer the Word of God. Find out how many in these so-called soul-winning churches are acquainted with the faith that was once delivered to the saints, as Jude spoke of. And I'll tell you what, when you do that, you'll then have a real progress report. Now, you probably also ruffle some preacher's feathers, but you'll find out the truth. It appears that most preachers, they are more interested in quantity than in quality. I'm not trying to deliberately be offensive. And I hope you understand that. I love all of my preacher brethren, even though we may disagree on some things. One was talking to me today, and I thank God for him because we do disagree on some things, but we still love one another. And we've never come to a fist fight or anything. But I do love my preacher brethren. Even those that may disagree a great deal with me. But folks, we are living in an age or a time of apostasy. Paul, writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy 4, said that there would be those that would depart from the faith. Now to depart from something, you've got to be in it. It's not talking about the false prophets and the false teachers and the false churches. But it's talking about those that once claimed to believe the truth and claimed to be affiliated with those that believe the truth, but they've departed from it. Many are turning their backs on the Bible and even the Lord's true churches. Today, in our Baptist churches, we need members who can meet the need of the hour. Not just the preacher, but we need members. Folks, a preacher can't do it all. Many members tonight cannot even cope with their own problems, let alone the problems of a lost world. They have no knowledge of the problem solver. Almighty God. How can such as these, even though they may have supposedly been warned by some preacher, how can they possibly lift up Christ to a lost world? They don't know anything about Him. Hosea 4 and 6, God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." What's destroying our Baptist church today is a lack of the knowledge of the truth. It's not a lack of soul winning, folks, because God's going to save His people. It's a lack of the knowledge of God's people as to the truth. Where does God place this responsibility? Well, John chapter 21, verse 15, 16, 17, God said to the pastors, "Feed my sheep." And He didn't say feed chaff either. He said feed of the bread from heaven. Acts 20, 28, to the preachers He said, "Take heed to unto yourselves and the flock which the Holy Spirit had made you overseer." Excuse me. 1 Peter 5, 1 and 4, He said, not only feed the flock, literally shepherd the flock, but He also said, be an example to the flock. We preachers, one day we'll give an account at the judgment seat of Christ as to how we prepared our people to meet the Lord. And indeed, they are going to meet Him. Not only are we to turn people to the Lord, but we're to prepare those that are turned to meet the Lord. Just as the old First Baptist preacher did. Paul told Timothy, 1 Timothy 4 and 16, said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine, continue in it, for in so doing thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee." There's in many churches tonight, even Baptist churches, there's not enough doctrine for anybody to hear and be saved. We preachers are going to have to answer for that very thing. Then secondly, want us to see the need of the hour by the scripture requirements that God has made upon His kind of churches today. In Ephesians chapter 4, I know you're familiar with this, but turn reading. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11. "And He gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body in Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth," notice now, "be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into Him, grow up into Him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body is fitly joined," excuse me, "fitly joined together," pardon me, "and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love." Now here the Holy Spirit has laid the burden upon New Testament churches of perfecting the saints.
Amen.
He's speaking of the gifts that God has given individual local churches.
Yeah.
Starting back with the first one. When He gave them apostles, 1 Corinthians 12:28, He said first in the church the apostles. Then of course they had prophets. And He goes on to tell us about evangelists. Old Philip was an evangelist. He's a missionary. That's what an evangelist is.
Right.
Not somebody that runs around freelance preaching revivals. But he's a missionary, evangelizing. But anyhow, then He said, some pastors and teachers. You know, I believe many people. Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. Many people read this passage of Scripture. Like most of us down south, we don't pay much attention to punctuation. We just read it, and if it turns out, that's the way we believe it. But punctuation makes a great deal of difference in this verse.
Amen,
brother. I want you to notice the comma and the semicolon. It does not say he gave some apostles and some prophets and some preachers and some teachers. That's not what it says.
Right.
It says he gave some prophets, some apostles, and then it said he gave, and I'm going to change this a little bit to help you understand what I mean. He gave some preachers that are to be teachers.
That's right.
The preachers and the teachers are the same thing.
That's right.
You ever hear anybody talking about it? He's a good teacher, but he's not much of a preacher. Well, I want to tell you, if he's not much of a teacher, he's not much of a preacher.
Amen.
Because a preacher is supposed to be a teacher. Teaching those that have been converted by the grace of God. This means simply that some of the early churches had apostles and prophets, but in these last days that you and I are living in, the New Testament churches have pastors that are to teach and preach and bring our people to the knowledge of the truth to where they'll be perfected in Jesus Christ, ready to meet the Lord. That's our job, folks. And I'm afraid we're not doing a very good job of it. It is the pastors and teachers that the Lord is placing in churches today. Now, I know sometimes we run upon a self-appointed prophet. And sometimes they're not always males either. And I realize today that we have those, and I've had some to come to my church and say, now, the preacher of the Lord has called me to teach. And so I'd be glad to take a Sunday school class, because we always have plenty of teachers for fellows like that. But they really believe the Lord's called them to teach. I mean, that they have something specific about teaching. And most of those that told me that didn't hardly know where the Sunday school room was, let alone what to teach them. Most of the teachers I've found, as we say down home, that's worth the salt, had rather not teach if they can get out of it because they don't feel they're capable of doing it. Today is a time of confusion and crisis. We need true biblical teachers today worse than we ever had in the history of this world. People are more confused and in such, religiously speaking, chaotic states today that they don't know what's going on. And the sad part about it, a lot of them in Baptist churches. No clear-cut standard in Christianity today, per se. By that I mean those that claim to be Christian, so forth. No standards. If it feels good, do it. Every man does that which is right in his own eyes. And many other religious groups tell us that's fine. If you really feel that's all right with you, then do it. Confusion. Deception abounds.
Amen.
New Testament churches should be places where people can come and hear the truth, be exposed to the gospel, where the Holy Spirit takes it and puts it in their heart, and the power of the gospel explodes and creates a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then after that takes place, where they can grow in the grace and the knowledge of the truth. I suppose probably the greatest need we have today are teachers who are capable of discovering the difference between God's truth and the devil's lie. And it's not as easy as it might seem. He tripped up Eve. And I want to tell you, she was in a lot better environment and atmosphere than you and I are in today. our most urgent need today is for someone to instruct God's people in the truth. For what we claim to have placed our eternal destiny in, we are most ignorant in. Most Baptists could tell you more about what's on in the newspaper, on TV, or in some magazine than they can what's in God's Word. And yet we're depending on what's in God's Word to take care of us eternally. The average pastor is too busy building empires to be bothered with real vital issues or even understanding them today. God's most urgent need is somebody to instruct His people. And thank God, as we saw today, God Himself is the one that provides that need in calling men into the ministry. Our problem is that most preachers are placing all emphasis on getting the lost to make professions and join the church, when in truth God's Word says that our need is not just to get souls saved, but to get the whole person saved.
Amen.
Jesus said that He bought not only our souls, but also our bodies. Therefore, glorify Him not only in our soul, but also in our bodies, which are His.
Amen.
I'll tell you what, many Baptists today are unable to find their way through the maze of confusion that they face today, even in some churches. God's program today calls for some prepared preachers to prepare God's people to meet the Lord. Every church needs to know the difference between truth and error. I'm talking about every true church. Every true Baptist church needs to know the difference. And folks, there are many that don't. Pastor called me the other day. Independent Baptist church. I won't go any farther than that. But, and he told me, said, Brother Smith, and this preacher had been there 4 or 5 years, I guess. But he began to tell me what kind of message church. And he went there, and I can't tell a whole lot of difference. There have been a few changes. But anyhow, he said, we had a family that left our church and went and joined the First Nazarene Church. And they have two, they started out, they had one contemporary service, one traditional service. And the contemporary service is so popular, they have two contemporaries now, just one traditional. Anyhow, they went and joined this Nazarene Church. And the pastor told me, he said, we had a business meeting, said the clerk stood up and said, Brother, Pastor, I have received a request for a letter from this church from the First Nazarene Church. And the pastor said, hey, wait a minute. There's no need in reading that request. We can't grant a letter to a Nazarene church. He said, I lost 10 members. Got mad and left because we wouldn't grant a letter to a Nazarene church. Believes you can fall from grace and believes you can a whole lot of other things. But that's the state we're in. In Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, 13, 14, and I believe this charge is also being laid to us today, said, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk, not strong meat. For every one that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Our minds and our supposedly beliefs are not being exercised to where they grow. We have many that are still on milk, and I'm persuaded that many preachers, all they know is how to give milk. They've never learned to feed them meat. The popular thing today is to expound loud and long on soul winning. And yet, those that have been saved starve, literally starve, for the lack of spiritual food. Only strong, mature sheep are prepared to meet the needs of lost sheep. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying or not. Let me put it this way. Whether we like it or not, sick sheep, weak sheep, timid sheep, needy sheep, wandering sheep, frightened sheep, confused sheep, starved sheep are not capable of leading lost sheep safely to the fold.
Amen.
It takes mature sheep and prepared shepherds. I don't want to be misquoted. I hope you understand what I'm saying tonight. I realize, probably maybe not here, but other places, if I was to preach this, that I'd be criticized by some for preaching this. I'm not against taking people to church even on a bus. As a matter of fact, we just bought a van to go pick up people. I've been accused of that. Said we thought we was afraid we were going to get one of the non-elect saved. I'm not worried about that. We can't even save the elect. How are we going to get the non-elect saved? I just happen to believe that too often these things are being used and substituted for real, honest-to-goodness, biblical evangelism. It's much easier to entice somebody to ride a bus than it is to sit down with them and take the time and explain to them the real story of the message of salvation from God's Word. It's easier for a pastor to brag about how many doors he's knocked on than to patiently grow a congregation that be a lasting witness in that community. I want to tell you, if all a pastor's interested in is just soul winning, his church will never be a soul winning church. You know why? Because most churches think that's all the pastor is in here. They'll take care of their own doctrine and their own practice. They just want him to go out and try to get some more to come where they can get a little more in the offering plate. Yeah. Brag about how many they got in Sunday school. And some preachers help that along by what they preach and the way they practice. Yeah. All that's important is soul winning. As a matter of fact, the Bible tells us that every member of a New Testament church is to be a soul winner. And who is to teach them to be soul winners? The pastor who is the teacher. Church members only become spiritual witnesses if they are developed by proper care, being fed the Word of God. The only way they'll grow and become strong is by being fed, not chaff, but the real wheat that comes from God. There's a real need for genuine, God-called, Spirit-led pastors and teachers today. We need them to lead God's people through the maze of religious confusion and apostasy, to prepare them to live lives that not only they themselves would be prepared to meet the Lord, but that others might see them and they then themselves would also be prepared to meet the Lord. Who was it said they'd rather see a sermon than to hear one any day? Well, the only way you're going to see one is when someone preaches one, make them ready to be one. Jesus said through the old apostle John in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 28, "Abide in him, that we may have confidence and not be ashamed when he comes." When I was studying for this message, I asked God to help me to be more of a teacher to my people. Certainly, I want to be an example to them. Certainly, I want to preach to encourage them. I want to be evangelistic. And I do care for lost souls. I have a lost brother tonight. 62 years old and he's still lost. And I care for him. But I'll not win him just by telling him funny stories and get him to come to church where I can count him. The only way he'll ever be won is somebody telling the truth that he's a lost sinner. And he's on the way to hell. All of his good works, which he's a good moral man, all of his wealth, everything that he's got, is to no avail when you stand before Almighty God. And the only hope he's got is that he'd recognize that he is a lost sinner, guilty before God. And by God's marvelous grace, through the operation of his Holy Spirit, fall before him and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. We need to think on these things. As I said, I do believe in soul winning. I knock on doors. I have people that knock on doors. But if I'm the only one in my church that knocks on doors, I'm not going to get around to many. But if I can teach my people where they'll grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord, where they themselves are able to give a reason of the hope that lies within them, then we can knock on a whole lot more doors than just me. Preacher, let me ask you tonight. You know, mentioned about Brother Hancock. I believe he's the oldest man on the schedule today. But I'm next to him. Lord, let me live. I'll be 66. That's the hardest thing in the world for me to believe. Be 66, the 12th of May. I don't know what happened to it all. Something happened to it. I've had some wonderful years. God has been so good to me. All of my children, all of my grandchildren are saved and in church. Not as good a church as I'd like for them to be, but they're in a church. The last one, my little 10-year-old girl, I don't know how many months back, little Betsy, Brother Hancock knows what I'm talking about, went up to the preacher one Sunday morning before church ever started and told him, said, Pastor so-and-so said, the Lord saved me last night at home. And said, I want to tell everybody. Would you ask the church if I can be baptized and be a member of this church? And one of them, members of a Baptist church tonight, and God did every bit of it. I know some of you preachers sit here tonight and have children out in the world, and I don't know what I'd do. I just don't know. When they were lost, before they were saved, I couldn't sleep at night thinking about them. I know it has to be one of the hardest experiences in life, but I can tell you this much tonight. If you and I, as a preacher, remain true to God's Word, if we fulfill our responsibility, then there's hope for them because the truth will still be being preached. But if we quit, if we give up, then there's nobody else to do it. Let me ask you tonight, you as a church member, do you receive what you're being taught? Are you willing to listen to your leader as he teaches you how to live for the Lord, what it takes to be the kind of Christian that you ought to be, to please the Lord and really be a soul winner? I'm not talking about just talking. I'm talking about living it. That's the only way you'll ever be one. You can do a lot of talking, but it's not how much you talk, as somebody said, but it's how you walk. Thank you, may God bless you.